Well, because we're having the sacrament, it's time for the sermon now, which is a bit different to usual. But we'll turn again to God's Word, and we're going to turn to Isaiah 25, which is the passage that we read first of all. Isaiah chapter 25. Last night in the church hall, we were thinking about Exodus chapter 24. There's something that we read in Exodus 24. A strange incident, an incredible incident really, where at the time of the giving of the law to Moses from Mount Sinai, Moses and 70 of the elders of Israel and a couple of other people go up to the mountain of God, and they eat and drink whilst seeing an incredible vision of the God of Israel. It's quite an incredible couple of verses in Exodus 24. And if you weren't there last night, you might want to read it. Not now. Read it when you get home. Now's the time to think of Isaiah 25. But you might want to read that. And the reason we looked at that is because we were looking at this idea of covenant meals. This idea of eating and drinking before the Lord. And there were two aspects that we looked at last night. And they were the aspects of atonement and fellowship. That at that meal where Moses and the elders eat before God, it's in the context of sacrifices to take away the sins of the people. It's in the context of fellowship offerings, which is this idea that the food of the people is shared with God. And in some way, God is participating with his people in this everyday act of eating and drinking together. This act, which is just such a part of everyday life, which is, as it is in our culture, it was in the ancient culture, a time for friendship, for relationships, for agreements, a time of joy. And so we were seeing that actually, God is proclaiming to his people in Exodus 24 there and through what happens, that he is a God who is with them, who is with them and fellowshipping with them in the everyday, in their everyday experiences. He's a God who has made a way for his people to come to him and to fellowship with him. And the reason we're looking at that, and the reason we're looking at another meal here in Isaiah 24, is because we are going to be eating and drinking before the Lord here this morning, later on. And last night we were seeing about how this meal, the Lord's Supper, is a meal which proclaims to us atonement. Atonement meaning the forgiveness of sins. God making a way for our sins to be forgiven. And we were thinking how we're quite familiar, many Christians are quite familiar with that aspect of the Lord's Supper. But we were also thinking about the other side of it that we saw from Exodus 24. Fellowship. That actually this meal is not just about atonement. That atonement is for something. The cross of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ is for something. It's a way in, it's a way to something to be realized. Christ came and died for us, not only so that our sins might be forgiven, but so that we might have fellowship with God. So that we might be called sons and daughters of the living God. Not in some technical, theological way, but in a way that we really experience God's presence in our lives. And this that we do this morning is a meal. It's a familiar thing. We raise a cup, we take some food. We do it all the time together, but here this morning, we have this holy meal, this everyday, ordinary, holy meal, where we eat and drink in the presence of God, where we share with Christ this experience of meeting together in his name, where we fellowship with him. Well, we're looking at another meal this morning, a meal here in Isaiah 25. Look at verse 6, that's where there are kind of four or five verses that describe what are going on. Isaiah in his prophecy, sees a vision on this mountain, the mountain of the Lord. The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. It's another meal described by the prophet. And we can notice some connections with the meal we looked at last night in Exodus 24. The meal is celebrated on the mountain of the Lord. If we were to flick back just to the end of chapter 24, we see that Isaiah is talking about Mount Zion. The mountain of the Lord, the city of God. That's the mountain where Isaiah sees this vision of this incredible banquet being served. The meal, like in Exodus 24, is in God's presence. The vision of the meal is a meal where God has prepared the meal. And at the meal, God is wiping away tears from all faces. God himself is present at this meal that Isaiah sees this vision of. There's food, there's drink, just as there was in Exodus 24. There's food and there's wine. And the language isn't as explicit as in Exodus 24, that this is a covenant meal. In Exodus 24, we get this language of the blood of the covenant. But here we find covenant language nevertheless. The people are God's people. They're his people, verse 8. His people. The people say in verse 9, at this meal, surely this is our God. The language of covenant, the language of belonging. So there are similarities to what we looked at last night in Exodus 24, but there are also differences. In Exodus 24, it's just the representatives of the people who meet and eat in the presence of God, who sit at table with God, as it were. Here, the vision is that all nations, all peoples, are sat eating at this meal. And of course, Exodus 24 is a historical event. It's history. It's something that happened. Isaiah 25 is prophecy. This is a vision. Isaiah is seeing a vision. It's a prophetic vision. And the vision that Isaiah sees is of something in the future, something yet to come. A meal which God plans. It's a goal. It's set almost at the end of God's purposes. Because at this meal, Isaiah sees that God has swallowed up death forever. He's removed a shroud which hangs over everyone. The shroud of death. It's an incredible vision. A meal where God's people are celebrating the end of death. Where they are with God, sharing great food, amazing wine, and celebrating God's victory over death. It's a meal that speaks of the fulfillment of promise, the fulfillment of great hope. Well, why should we connect this meal with the meal that we will take here this morning? I think we should, but why should we? Well, this idea of a meal at the end of God's purposes, a meal in the future, an incredible, almost victory meal where the fulfillment of these hopes is realized, is picked up in the New Testament. Jesus in Matthew 8, let me just read a verse from Matthew 8 to you. Matthew 8 and verse 11, this is after the faith of the centurion who comes to Jesus. Jesus says, I haven't found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself picks up this vision from Isaiah. And he says, this Roman centurion, he'll be there. Because he has faith. If we turn to the right to the last book of the Bible in Revelation 19, we see the same vision picked up again. Revelation 19:9. Let me read that to you again. Then let me read that to you. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." This idea that when the victory of God over death and over sin and over injustice and over all the things we read about in Isaiah 25, poverty and oppression, when that victory comes, that it's pictured in terms of an incredible meal celebrated by God's people with God. This vision that Isaiah has in Isaiah 25 is picked up in the New Testament. And when we think about the Lord's Supper, we've already thought last night that yes, it's about atonement. We're familiar with that. I think more familiar with that aspect of it. But that it's also about fellowship. That this is a real place where we meet with Jesus Christ in faith. Where we share fellowship with Him around the table. We saw that. But it's also, this meal also has an element of promise to it. It's not just about looking back to the cross, the atonement. We remembered last night, and we'll read the words. We proclaim Jesus' death. It's not just about fellowship. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Not just in remembrance of my death, in remembrance of me. The human person, the man, Jesus Christ, our friend, our brother. We remember him, we fellowship with him, we meet him here. Yes, it's got those aspects, but it also has this aspect of promise. We proclaim his death until he comes. This meal here this morning, is also like Isaiah's meal, a vision, a proclamation of something yet to come. This meal is a meal not only of remembering atonement, a meal of fellowship, it's also a meal of promise. It's also a meal of promise. Perhaps, I think, in one of the most poignant passages, and you can turn to it, it's Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And at verse 26, one of the most poignant passages in the New Testament, gives us the reason why we should understand this meal in this way. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. And this is what we read, Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When Jesus took the Lord's Supper for the only time physically, he was looking forward. He was looking forward to a future day when he would sit with his people at table with bread and wine in the kingdom of God and would share with them. That's why this meal has a future promise. That's why we connect what we do here this morning with Isaiah's vision in Isaiah 25. And when we look at Isaiah 25, what do we see? Let's pick up a few things from Isaiah's vision and let's project them forward into the hope that we have here this morning at this meal which we celebrate. What do we see in Isaiah 25? Well, one of the things we see, as we've already mentioned it, is we see the nations. The nations at the table. Verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. For all peoples. We read of the faith of the centurion and what Jesus said about his faith. This Roman who was outside of the people of God, yet had put his faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, when my kingdom comes, when the kingdom of God comes, this centurion will be there. In Exodus 24, we've remembered, you just find a few sitting. Even at the first Lord's Supper, you just find Jesus and his disciples sitting at the table. In both cases, really, they are representatives of some much greater number. Especially in the 12 disciples, in the imagery there of 12 men who represent the totality of God's people. What is that? No longer the 12 tribes of genealogical or genetic Israel. But 12 men sat at a table with Christ, representing, in the vision in Revelation 7, a great number which no man can number. This meal today is a meal which we celebrate with one another. As people drawn from many different backgrounds, many different families, as people who were once strangers to God's covenant promises, strangers to his word. But hundreds of years ago, the gospel came here. And now we have become part of this number that Isaiah saw in his prophecy. A meal prepared for all peoples. And as we eat with, today, millions of Christians who today will sit at a table and take wine and bread and fellowship with their Saviour, and in a way, fellowship with us as we celebrate this meal. And we all look forward to the day, as Jesus did, when we will eat and drink in the kingdom of God, face to face with Jesus Christ and face to face with one another. This meal that we celebrate ought to be a time, yes, that we bow our heads and that we remember Christ's sacrifice for us. But as I said last night, it also ought to be a time when we raise our heads and look at one another. We are fellowshipping together with Jesus Christ. And it ought to be a time when we think forward to a time when, sat at a table, we will look and see Jesus himself there. As real to us as we are to one another, flesh and blood, sat at a table, fellowshipping with us. This meal is about promise. What else do we read? A promise for all nations, a promise for all peoples. And again, that ought to give us hope, isn't it? About the world out there, about all the people out there who are not sat with us at the table. This meal is for all peoples. God's salvation is for all peoples. In Isaiah 25, we find this great vision of people gathered from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, sat in fellowship with God, eating and drinking with him. What else do we find in Isaiah 25? We find this incredible vision of the swallowing up of death, to use Isaiah's language. That this meal is associated with the great victory and the great hope that God has proclaimed all the way through the scriptures. The defeat of sin, the defeat of evil, the defeat of death. And of course, in the New Testament, we find the great truth of the resurrection of God's people, that through Jesus' death we are forgiven for our sins, and through his resurrection we are made new. And not only are we made new, but the whole cosmos one day will be made new. That through Christ's resurrection, there is the power to defeat death. And that one day, a day will come where death is defeated, where God's people are raised to live again. And that's why, as we sit at this table and we remember Jesus Christ, we're proclaiming his death, but we're remembering that he's alive, that he's risen from the dead, that he's defeated death. This meal continues the vision that Isaiah saw. This meal projects our hopes and thoughts forward to that day in the way that Isaiah's vision did. We proclaim his death. We remember Jesus Christ. We fellowship with him until he comes. It should be a fundamental part of what happens when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We look forward to that day when he returns, where death will be no more, and where we, if we have died, will live again. That will be the day where, in the words of Isaiah, which are picked up in Revelation 21, the Sovereign Lord, says Isaiah, will wipe away the tears from all faces. Revelation 21, John picks up that imagery. He looks forward to that same day. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the mountain of God, coming down out of heaven from God. I heard a loud voice saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Right there, in some of the last words of the Bible, we find Isaiah's vision. This great hope. We don't find the meal in those verses, but we can infer the meal. We can infer that this is a time of rejoicing, a time of fellowship with God. God's dwelling comes down out of heaven to earth. That's our great hope. Through resurrection, we live in a renewed earth with God's presence with us, with Jesus Christ present with us. And that's what this meal signifies. We said last night, Christianity is not the hope that we would somehow be lifted out of life and all its troubles and difficulties and all its everydayness. This meal proclaims that God comes to us in life, for life, to redeem life. God comes to us in a meal. God says he wants to share in a meal. He wants to share in all the everyday things of life, to reinvigorate them by his Spirit. God's created us for life, not for death. For all the joys of life, for the hills and the sea, for the fish and the birds, for the things that bring us joy, for music and art, for family and friends. That all these things would be renewed and reinvigorated by the power of God's redemption. That's what this meal proclaims. And we look forward to the day when it is fully realized. When the vision that Isaiah saw, when the vision that John saw in Revelation is realized. That's the promise in the Lord's Supper. We read in Hebrews 9 last night, in our New Testament reading. And there we read in verse 15. And there the author of the Hebrews is picking up on some of the language in Exodus 24. For this reason, Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, atonement, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We were thinking last night about how atonement realizes something. Those words of Willie Still that were quite shocking to me when I first read them. The cross of Christ, for all its glory, is a means to an end. It's true. Willie Still went on, and that end is relationship with God in love. Atonement for fellowship, but also the context of that fellowship. The promise that's in this meal. That fellowship is not just for here, in a broken world, in a suffering world. Not just for here, as we struggle against sin and the weakness of our bodies. Not just for this world, where we struggle and work against injustice, where we work against the darkness and the lostness and the evil one who works out there against Christ's church. This fellowship, not just for here, but one day, fellowship with God. Through the power of Christ's death, fellowship with God in a world made new where all of these things are gone. And what remains is the goodness and the glory of God's good creation. Where we are finally free. That is the promise in this meal today. That's the vision, that's the hope. As that bread passes our lips and we remember Christ. As that wine passes our lips and we remember Christ. Through faith we fellowship with Him. And we don't just look back. We look forward to His coming. We don't just remember, we imagine. We don't just remember, we hope. We long for that day when the world and all those who have trusted Christ are set free. That is the promise in this meal. So as we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, let us bring these three things together. Let us remember the atonement. Let us experience our fellowship with Christ and with one another. And let us hope for what is promised. And rejoice in what this meal means for us here today by God's grace alone.